You know, there's a song titled, Bring Them In, Bring Them In. Tonight we're going to have to sing them in the way it looks. So you that are here, we're glad to see you. And we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus and invite you to turn to number 354. Number 354 as we join together in our song time together. Will you please stand as we join together? Thank you, church, and you may be seated.
Before we have our prayer time, just a couple I want to mention to you this from this afternoon, and that is, first of all, Mitch Gibbons' mother passed away this afternoon. So if you had not heard, please remember Mitch and family in your prayers. And Mitch Gibbons, his mother, she passed away. So I know that they called Floyd's, but there were no arrangements when I talked to him this afternoon at this point. Also remember Jennifer Voss. She's in the hospital with a flare-up and not doing well. So certainly Miss Juliet would like us to remember her in our prayers. And any others that you would have before we pray? Clyde, yes, yeah. And Laura? Okay.
Oh no. That's always the first question.
So we'll lie to him. Well, okay. Yeah, we sure will. We sure will. All right. Yep. He is where now?
He's at his sister's.
Okay, yep. All right. All right, let's pray. Lord, as we pause, just as we enter into our time of worship, we've got some things that are on our minds, some things that we certainly want to bring before you. We pray for Mitch and for his family as they go through this time of grieving and loss. And Lord, as he said this afternoon, though they expected it, they didn't expect it today. But even today, even in the unexpected, we know that your grace is going to be enough for him and for the family. And we pray that you would just encircle them with your grace. We pray for Jennifer and for Clyde and for Mr. Shelby. We ask for your healing touch to be upon them. And certainly, Lord, we believe in you, and we believe that touch makes a powerful and wonderful difference. And so we're praying for it this evening, that you would just overshadow their bodies. We pray for Mark and for the family as he goes for his MRI tomorrow. Lord, nothing is going to catch you off guard, and Lord, you know exactly what he needs. And so we uplift him before you, and we believe and know that you're going to be right there with him, and that somehow you're going to give him, even at his age, and maybe even more than ever at his age, a great sense of peace tomorrow. We pray for him and for Patrick and Laura as well. We continue to pray for the Cranes as they minister to all of those children and to the refugees and to the circumstances that they find themselves within. It's beyond them, but it's not beyond you. And so, again, we're asking for you to intervene. Lord, where they don't have provision to take care of all the people that are there, we're asking for you to send provision to them. And, Lord, that you would multiply even that which they have. Just like you multiplied the loaves and the fishes and made it enough, we pray that what they have will somehow miraculously be enough to meet the needs that they're dealing with. Guide us tonight as we have our time of worship. May you be a part of it. May you challenge us to go further than we've gone before. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just before Dr. Walls comes and shares the word of the evening, the Brent Lane family is going to sing tonight. So folks, come on, bless our hearts with song at this time.
Tonight, we're going to watch a 28-minute clip. Some of you have probably seen it before, but it's called Heaven. It is this year's My Hope America video put out by Dr. Billy Graham Foundation. And then at the end of it, there is a reason for showing it to you, not just the fact that you, I think, will enjoy it. But I'm using it as at the end of this, we're going to have a challenge about how we can go forth with this in a particular type of outreach that we as a church can do this year. But before I ask you to involve yourself in it, I think it's important that you understand exactly what it is that you see it for yourselves. So let's just watch it.
There's a life hanging in the balance. We're willing to put our lives on the line so that other person may live.
My dad and I were actually really close.
Not sure why it's not showing, but that's the second time that's done that to me. We'll try it one more time.
There's a life hanging in the balance. We're willing to put our lives on the line so that other person may live.
My dad and I were actually really close. I was definitely a daddy's girl. I felt like we were always having these adventures out in the wild.
They say your life can be turned upside down in a blink of an eye. Life was awesome until something unexpected happened.
All of a sudden, out of absolutely nowhere, I just got this crazy feeling. I didn't know exactly what had happened, but I knew that it was my dad. And I just shook my head and I said, no, no.
An unexpected tragedy comes. A romance breaks up. A terrible injustice is done. And you feel so alienated and so lost. But you can start life all over again with a clean slate.
We had a family reunion this summer, and all of our grandchildren came home. And oh, it was one of the most wonderful, wildest times I ever saw. And when I'd get tired, I'd say, oh, I've got to go back and study a few minutes. And I'd go back and lie down a few minutes and then come out for some more. But you know, I love those children. It was great.
I've had this home for many years. And I've had a wonderful family that God has given me and my wife. And as I think back over the years, I'm in a state of thankfulness.
Now God wants you to live. He wants you to live life to the fullest, and He has a plan for you that will prosper you and bless you. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and might have it to the fullness. He wants you to have life. He wants you to enjoy life, to give you the assurance that your sin is forgiven, that you're going to heaven when you die.
Facing death, things become a lot clearer. I was on top of the world. I had everything going for me. I had just been promoted to drive the hook and ladder truck. Felt like I was Superman. It was July 24th, 2007, a day that changed my life forever.
Units responding to the structure fire report single story commercial fire through the roof.
My job as a driver of the hook and ladder truck is to get on the roof and ventilate it, open it up with a chainsaw so that the company's coming inside, the fire can actually make their way there without all the smoke and heat upon them. We arrived on scene. I put our aerial to the roof, brought my chainsaw in hand. When I got on top of the roof, I saw fire out of the rear of the building coming out of the skylight. And I stepped over a division wall. On the ground. And when I looked around, all I could see was orange, fire all around me. I came to the realization that this was it. I was gonna die.
In life, there are things that you will never anticipate, things that completely ruin the plan that you have for your life. Things that you never, ever imagine. My dad was a very big outdoorsman. We were always camping and fishing and hunting and you name it. If it's outside, we were always out doing it. When I was in college, I really didn't see my dad that often. So we decided to actually go down to Lake Powell. We just spent the entire week houseboating and water skiing and wakeboarding, and we just had such an amazing time. A week after that trip ended, out of absolutely nowhere, I just got this crazy feeling. Basically, I just wanted to go home, and I didn't know why. So we went, we get out of the car. It was my aunt. And just the look in her eyes, and it was just such a deep sorrow. And I just shook my head and I said, no, no, no. My dad had been murdered. You're just overcome with anger and sadness and grief to a degree that you never knew before. As people were coming down the line at the funeral, telling me all of these things that, you know, your dad is in a better place, I just couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe in heaven because it just seemed like such a fairy tale to me. It was something that you tell somebody to make them feel better.
Now, we want to soften the reality of death. We don't want to talk about it. Some of us don't want to think about it. So we have a lot of cosmetics and facelifts. And the frantic search for the mythical fountain of youth goes on. But I don't want to turn tonight to the psychologist or the sociologist or the medical students, but to the Bible. What does the Bible say about death? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Death ushers in so much uncertainty, and we ask ourselves, why? And I want to quote one passage from Amos, the 4th chapter, that says, prepare to meet thy God. And I want to ask you tonight, are you prepared to die?
When my dad died, it really did change death in my eyes because people were telling me that he's in a better place, but I couldn't believe that. But I was really hoping to be able to see my dad again, to just have something, anything. I was just desperate for that. I desperately wanted my dad to come. When I thought about the man who murdered my dad, I honestly hated him. And when I saw his picture in the newspaper with any of the newspaper coverage, I literally shuddered. He was kind of like the villain in my mind. He wasn't even really human. And I never thought that I'd be able to forgive him. It had been about 9 years since my dad's murder. And I think it all just kind of came to a head. And I kind of just fell apart. I became very depressed. And I fell into a pretty deep, dark hole. My greatest fear at that time was that there was going to be something wrong with me and I would die and I would leave my children. I had some family members come up to me and say, Lori, I think it's time to try some medication. And I remember just crying and saying, is it that obvious that I'm really not doing well?
If you can imagine hell on earth, this was it.
There's a firefighter through the roof and it's burning.
Then the burn started. If you can imagine the first layer of your skin burning off, the second layer, the third layer, and down to your tendons. I came to the realization that this was it. I was gonna die. And all I could see was my life flash before my eyes. Like a DVD on rewind. So as a young man in high school, I was exposed to drinking and partying. And I took it to the next level. Was doing it quite often. And I went to college. It was all about getting girls. Me and all my buddies. Partying, I lived for myself, my indulgences. I would often wake up next to a woman that I hardly recognized. I remember her name. My dad tried to talk to me a couple times about God. I'd just blow him off. Not for me, not now. Don't need it. I'm in control of my life.
The scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And if we are sinners, then we are doomed. By that I mean, Jesus used the word hell. And that's the future of all of us if we don't put our trust in Jesus Christ.
People do not want to be warned of judgment in hell. A lady said some time ago, I hate the very thought of hell. So do I. And I also hate the sin that sends them there. I hate war. I hate the fact that people are starving in the world. But my hating it does not change the facts. Is it right for me to warn you tonight? What Jesus taught and what the Bible teaches from cover to cover? Well, suppose you were a drowning man and I have the gospel lifeboat. And I'm not going to let you drown if I can help it. Now, what is the nature of hell? Essentially and basically, it is separation from God. It's the banishment from the presence of all that is joyous and good and righteous and happy. Matthew 8, 12, hell is called outer darkness. It's separation from God in darkness. You're not going to go down there and set up a nightclub. No. You'll go out into eternity thirsting for God, and you can never find him. And you can never find the fulfillment that you missed in this life. What is your choice?
A lot of people would say, well, I don't really want a change in my life. Well, the scripture teaches without that change that God demands, we'll never get to heaven. Like for me, I was a member of a church, but I hadn't really come to Christ. From the very beginning,
I was reared in a Christian atmosphere. My father and mother both were Christians. By the time I was a teenager, there came an evangelist to our town, Mordecai Ham. I remember I got under such conviction. And one night, they gave the invitation to receive Christ, and I reluctantly went. But I really meant business with the Lord. I came just as I was, with all my sins, all my failures, and the Lord received me and changed me. That has transformed me till this day. I've never been the same. Jesus is the only way of life, eternal life that he gives to every one of us that have put our faith in him.
I became very depressed, and I couldn't get myself out of it. I tried going to a therapist. I tried meditation. I tried doing yoga. I tried all sorts of different things, but nothing was working. My last resort was to call my girlfriend, Sarah, and I called her up and I said, "Sarah, can you tell me a little bit about your church?" And that next Sunday, I'm sitting there and the pastor started preaching on exactly what I was dealing with in that moment. I started going to a woman's Bible study. I started pouring myself into it. I started reading scripture. And at one point, even though I still had some doubts, I was just like, what do I know to be true? Like deep down in my heart. And it was truly that Jesus is the Son of God. I gave my life to Christ and I said, yes, I do believe that Jesus is who he says he is. God was showing me step by step by step who I am and who God is. I started to see my own depravity. I started to see the depths of the sin within myself. And that is why Jesus had to die, because ultimately sin is what separates us from God, and Jesus had to come so that we can be forgiven. I had tried to forgive the man who murdered my dad. And then one day I was reading about Jesus dying on the cross. He was asking for God to forgive the people who were in the process of murdering him. And I understood in that moment that true forgiveness can only be done through God. I mean, it was so hard and so difficult, but I was able to forgive. Jesus has gone to prepare a home for us forever. It has given me such peace. And the thought of heaven is just overpowering at times, because it is a place where there will be no more fear, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death.
The Bible talks about heaven as a holy city, a perfect environment in which a perfect society dwells. Heaven will be a place in which its inhabitants will be freed from the fears and insecurities that plague and haunt us in the present life. And the scripture says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away, and we enter a new world. I'm looking forward to that glorious day of going to heaven. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
The scripture says that God's desire is that all men should be saved. He wants it so much that he gave his son to die on the cross for you. Now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was a judgment. God judged Christ in your place. And Jesus, being who he was, had the capacity to endure hell for you. He did it for you because he loves you. Now God says you must repent of your sins and receive him into your heart. Repentance is changing your mind toward God and toward yourself, seeing yourself a sinner and seeing the holiness and the righteousness of God, looking at the cross of Christ and seeing that he died for you. And then the second thing you must do is to believe. That word believe means more than just believing with your mind. It means committing yourself, your total self, to Christ as Savior and Lord. And then the third thing, you must be willing to follow him and serve him. Are you willing to do that? Are you ready? Yes, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice between some things that are wrong in your life, and you have to make a choice with Christ. Which will it be?
Everybody on duty that day expected a line of duty death. To have the thought of your own casket. It was real. Death was real. But here's a strange thing. There's something happened roughly 10 years earlier that connected that day and this day. It was a day back in 1995, and I was invited to a Bible study. There was a group of 8 to 10 of us, but at the end, the leader, he offered to those in the room listening to his voice if they wanted to receive Christ as their Savior. There was a still small voice that told me, "You need to do this." We all have a debt. The debt is sin. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it was that day, August 15th, 1995, is when I accepted the Lord into my heart as my Lord and Savior. And from that day forward, everything changed. In the middle of this raging inferno, I had peace. The peace that's rooted in my faith in Jesus Christ. And the scripture that is embedded in my heart is Romans 5:1, that said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And at this point, I had a conversation with God and said, "God, I'm ready to come home." I woke up 8 days later in the burn unit, unable to walk, began my intensive recovery for over a year. It was tough, but I learned a lot. We all walk on a razor's edge, thin line between life and death. We're all gonna die one day. The question remains, are you ready for that day?
I found during the latter years of my life, when I've had sicknesses and been in the hospital and so forth, there's a peace that just resides there and stays there that I cannot explain. Everybody could have that same peace if they received Christ as their Savior. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm looking forward to it with great anticipation because of what Jesus did on that cross.
He died for us, but he was raised by God. And you'll notice that when the disciples went out after the cross and the resurrection, it says they went out preaching that Jesus was alive, and that because he lives, we too are going to live someday in that same resurrection glory.
We all die. I'm not going to escape it. I don't want to escape it. I want to go. The vast majority of my life has already been lived. My record has already been made. I don't have very much longer. I know that.
Some of my closest friends and relatives, and especially my wife, already in heaven. And because of the hope we have in Jesus, we can all be in heaven someday forever. But first, there must be a decision here and now in this life.
A radical change must take place before you can get into heaven, before you can be accepted by God. You say, well, what do I have to do? You must repent of sin. You repent and you believe in Christ, and you receive him in your heart and say, Lord Jesus, come in, and he'll come in. You don't have long. You'll be in eternity, and the decision you make tonight may decide where you'll be. Do you know Christ? Are you ready?
Today, I'm asking you to put your trust in Christ.
If you'd like to receive Christ, you can pray a prayer like this.
You can pray a prayer like this.
Dear Heavenly Father,
I know that I am a sinner,
and I ask for your forgiveness.
I believe Jesus died for my sins
and rose from the dead.
I turn from my sins.
I repent from my sins.
I invite you to come into my heart and life.
I want to trust and follow you
as my Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die.
Hi, I'm Franklin Graham, and I'm sitting by the gravesite of my mother, Ruth Bell Graham, here at the Billy Graham Library. My father is over 95, and even though my mother passed away a few years ago, he still misses her, and he longs to be with her. He knows that my mother's not in this grave. She is alive, and she's in heaven in the presence of Almighty God, where he'll be one day soon. You too can have that same assurance of one day being in the presence of Almighty God. You see, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. If you prayed that prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we'd like to give you some resources that will help you grow in your new faith. Just go to the website on the screen and remember this: God loves you, and God bless you.
You know, the truth is, I'm ready to go home too. But I know there's some other people out there that aren't. And you know, one of the best ways that we can reach people is one-on-one, us going out there and sharing our faith with them, sharing our story with them. That's the best. I believe it used to happen a lot in churches. did for me when I was growing up. That's where you made your peace with the Lord. In today's society, not nearly as much. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just, it's a different society. But I think as churches, it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we offer opportunities for people to do business with the Lord if they choose to. Even to offer opportunities for us as those that are ready to go home to at least maybe share with some people and invite them that they might hear the message. And so the truth is, I know some, and some people are all in my heart about who I want to invite to come and see this. And so I know what I want to do. Now, we did this a little bit last year. We showed it in a few homes. We showed it at church. And I want to read the premise of it. You heard it last year, but I want to reread it. It's about the calling of Matthew, the disciple. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and he followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, why do you think they were having dinner there? I'm thinking Matthew invited them. It says, and while they were having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and the disciples. And why do you think they were there? Do you think they just showed up? Or do you think maybe they were invited? I'm thinking that once they were around Jesus, things changed. And I believe in that. And so this year's edition is simply called Heaven. And I think it is a very powerful thing. And we're going to show this here at the church. I'm not exactly sure about the details. I'm thinking it will be here in the sanctuary. But in 3 weeks from tonight, December 14th, the choir has changed their cantata date. They're not going to be singing that night. And I believe that may be in part of God's sovereignty, why that night opened up for us. But we're going to show that, this video that night. Now, before we get there, there's some things we have to do. First of all, it starts with prayer. We need to pray and pray regularly and daily for it. We need to invite. We need to then continue to pray for those that we've invited. We need to prepare, believing that God is going to be here and that things are going to happen. And then we need to pray again, even as that night approaches. The invites, I think, is pretty easy, really. We simply invite some people to come and see, I think, a pretty quality presentation. And the truth is, if we really believe in this, I think, you know, for me, I've already got some people in mind that I am going to offer an invite to. And that's what's laying up here. Some of you came by and saw things on the altar and looked at them. They're simply invite cards to come see a Billy Graham movie about heaven. And like I say, I've already earmarked a couple of cards for some very specific people. And I'm believing that God is already at work preparing their hearts for when the invitation is given. I believe that. And what I'm going to ask is that 10 people will pick up, and they're bundled in 10 of these cards are bundled in 5 in each bundle. I'm going to ask 10 people to simply say, you know what, I believe God is either going to lay 5 different people on my heart, or God may open up a door. I don't even know this person, but God does that sometimes. Sometimes God opens that door, and all of a sudden it's there for us, and we don't know them, but we just know that God gave us that opportunity. So, and I'm not going to ask you to do this tonight. I want you to pray about it. I'm serious about this prayer thing. I really am. Now, if you know already, you know, sometimes I've gone to things and I know what God wants me to do. I don't have to pray about it. I know what I'm supposed to do. But it doesn't happen that way. Other times I'll tell people, you know, let me pray about how God wants me to do this thing. So what I'm saying is the cards are available tonight. If you know what you need to do, then there's no need to pray about it. If God's already told you what to do, then come up and do it. If you want to pray about how many of these you want to pick up, then pray about it. They'll be available next Sunday as well. But I've been praying that for 10 people to say, you know what, I believe there's 5 people that God's going to open the door for me to invite. And then I've been praying for 10 more people that'll pick up a bundle of 2, just 2 invites. And then I ask God for 18 people just to pick up one and say there's just one person out there that they want to invite. Equals 88 invitations. 88 invitations. I'm not naive like I used to be. I can remember starting out in my very first church and doing some things, and they'd say, "Oh, Pastor, you're just young and naive." And I said, "Yeah, I think I am, but that's all right. You know, I'm not as young, and I'm certainly not as naive anymore. And I know that not everybody will accept the invitation, but I do believe this. I believe some will. And you know what? If just a fourth of them did, just a fourth. And by the way, there's still families involved in our church today because they were invited to this last year. But if just a fourth did, 22 people would gather at our place and hear the gospel presented to them. I doubt that all of them would embrace Christ in that moment, but I know the seed will be planted, the seed will be watered, and in my heart of hearts, I believe that indeed this night, this very showing, will make a difference forever in their lives. So if you know what you want to do, at the end of the service, you can come and pick up your invite cards. If you want to pray about it, please do. And I really do mean that because I believe in prayer. God will tell you. You know, again, for me, some things come very clear as I looked at this and thought about this. And we wrestled about how we were going to do this. All right? And I got to tell you, for me, when I heard that the December 14th was going to be open, or a light just went on, I really believe this is what we needed to do for that Sunday night. So that's what we're going to do. And so we pray and we invite. And then we begin to continue to pray for those that we have invited, and then we prepare. We prepare that so that for those that come, we're ready to welcome them, we're ready to share the love of Christ with them, and we're ready to talk with them if they make a decision for Christ. Because I got to tell you, the message is right there for them, isn't it? Laid out so wonderfully as Billy Graham did. Isn't it neat what God did with, in his own words, a country boy from North Carolina? Wow, that's the goodness and the greatness of our God, and how that, man, I'll never be Billy Graham, but if God could use me just to touch somebody's life, that's what I want to do. And so we prepare, and so I'm going to be praying that two men and two women step forward so that I can meet with them a couple of times before the service, so that if people do respond, we'll know exactly how to deal with it, how to help them make that step over that line. You know, to sit there and pray, "Lord, this is so-and-so. I want them to know you." But so anyway, two women, two men. More if God lays it on your heart. But, be praying about that, because it is that important. We can't just, if we expect God to work and move, then we need to be ready when God does. And then we pray again, especially as the night gets closer. So we need invites. And by the way, I'm going to need you. I'm going to have to add one. I'm going to need you to spread the word. The crowd isn't very large tonight. We're small. We're still more than 11, by the way. And I keep thinking about what 11 disciples did once they got on fire for Jesus. So we do beat that, and we can still make a difference. All right? But you're going to need to spread the word that this is an opportunity and what it's about. But we're going to need people to invite. We're going to need to prepare. And then I'm going to need some bakers out there, because on there I put on there Christmas cookies and punch reception following. And by the way, I put it on there, and if y'all want to bake them, fine. If you don't, I'm going to IGA to buy it. So it's going to happen if I got to do it. But I want a time. I believe in that one-on-one fellowship with people, folks. They're going to see something about us that's different. Even if they don't make a decision that night, they're going to, if we get an opportunity to be around them, they're going to know that we've got something different and unique and exciting that they want to have. And Christmas is a wonderful time to share Jesus. Even for all those folks out there that have so secularized the holiday, they still know that somehow it's about this manger thing, whatever it is, and about Bethlehem. They know it's about Jesus. And so what a wonderful time to invite. So folks, this is an opportunity. It's just a tool, but I believe it can be a tool that is powerful. I know it was showed at our youth retreat. And I know people responded at the end of it too. All right. So this is kind of the opportunity before us. If you've got more questions, certainly I'd be happy to try to answer any tonight. In fact, I'll pause right now. Is there any questions? I know I've gone quickly, but I don't think it's not brain surgery, but there still may have been something I left out. I'm wrestling back and forth. I told Dr. Blank and Miss Gladys, I said I wanted to sing something at the end. I first thought we would sing maybe Just As I Am, because that's the way Billy Graham often ended his crusades, you know. And then I got to think, but I love to tell the story. And that's what this event's about. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing two verses of I Love to Tell the Story, and then we're going to sing two verses of Just As I Am, because I couldn't make up my mind, Dr. Blank. So that's how we're going to end. And at the end of the singing, we're going to have some prayer time. I'll end in prayer. And again, the cards are available tonight if you're ready for them tonight. So, Dr. Blank, come lead us.
Number 297, just two verses, but 297 to start, yes.
All right, stand.
Let us stand together. 297. I love to tell the story. All together.
A lot of people have come and knelt, and they've shared their burdens, they've shared their sorrows, they've opened their hearts, they've received you as their Savior. And tonight, Lord, we've got some cards here. And the truth is, we don't know whose hands these need to get into, but we believe that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Lord, we're praying for all 88 of these cards. We're asking for your Spirit, Lord, to work in their hearts, to prepare them for the gospel message.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, to clear their calendar for December 14th at 6 o'clock. To strangely draw them, Lord, even though they might first be inclined to say no, but Lord, to strangely draw them to this place. And Lord, I pray for those of us that are here.
Mm-hmm.
God, may our hearts be so burdened and open that, Lord, our minds already might be filling with the faces of people that you would have us to invite.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, even for some of those folks that we don't know, but somehow you're going to cross our lives with their life. Lord, I pray that we are prepared and that we're ready and that we're open and that, Lord, that we will be able to share with them an invitation that will forever change
their
life.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we believe that it is not ever about us, but it is always about you.
Mm-hmm.
May your message go forth. May it even go forth through us. We pray this in Christ.